Hello, and welcome to The Squeal, PIC's swine management podcast, featuring in-depth conversations on topics that matter to you. PIC is the global leader in swine genetics. At PIC, our goal is to make our customers the most successful pig producers by providing them with the best genetics. We know our business success depends on yours. In today's conversation, we'll be looking at major herd health challenges in the wean-to-finish phase. In fact, during this three-part series, we'll delve into new technologies, herd monitoring tools, and best herd health management practices. Joining us are Carthage Vet Services Dr. Joe Connor, Dr. Deanne Hemker, Health Assurance Veterinarian with PIC, and Dr. Will Lopez, PIC's Technical Service Wean-to-Finish Specialist.
This is Joe Connor. I'm a veterinarian with the Carthage Veterinary Service located in Carthage, Illinois.
Deanne Hemker here. I am a PIC Health Assurance Veterinarian located in Southern Illinois.
Hello, I'm Will Lopez here. I'm a Wean-to-Finish Technical Services Specialist at PIC.
I appreciate all three of you being here today. In your opinion, what are the key health challenges that we're facing today in the industry?
Ned, I'll start off on that. The challenges are actually, I think, very similar to what we've experienced over a number of years. It's just that we are better at identifying the age of the pig and those individual pathogens with the improved diagnostics. If we think about it practically, we still are challenged with PRS, swine influenza, Mycoplasma pneumoniae. More recently, we've seen some increased activity with certain strains of strep suis, and occasionally Haemophilus parasuis activities jump back up for us.
Talk to me about management of those issues. So as you say, there are some that have been with us for a very long time. There are some that have re-arisen recently, have reappeared recently. How do we manage that? How do we prepare, knowing that that's going to happen? How do we manage that?
For me, it's best to look at each one and think about each one individually because they do have different strategies for management. There is a better outcome if we can delay the age at which those pigs are generally developing the individual diseases from those pathogens. So, Ned, if I just take a couple of them, PCV2, generally we can still control that with piglet and occasionally with sow and piglet vaccine. If we think then about Mycoplasma pneumoniae, as we recognize, we've had a good move toward individual herd elimination. And if we do not move toward herd elimination, then a combination of early replacement gild exposure combined with vaccinations and occasionally antibiotic interventions do a pretty good job of controlling the reduction in performance that mycoplasm would cause.
I think that's a great overview. Will, from your perspective, how does that look to you?
One of the things that worries me the most is there is a big overlook in biosecurity in the growing pig area or in the wean to finish or nursery finishers, if you may, to call it like that. There is a lack of, or let's say more, there is a lot of opportunity there to improve. I think there has been a lot of focus in the sow herd in terms of biosecurity, improvement of bioexclusion or biomanagement, biocontention. But in terms of the growing pig herd or growing pig population, there is a lot of opportunity there that we can use that to come back and improve the overall result of the whole system as a whole, because sometimes I think we lose most of the efforts that are being done in the sow herd or in the side one sow herd for that introduction of new pathogens to the growing pig population and a very good health status that we may be having in the output of the sow farm gets ruined in the grow finish area.
Yeah, well, I would concur on that. I think a lot of us has put tremendous emphasis, and we've made great improvement on the breed to wean side. But as we move over to the wean to finish side on biosecurity and containment and exclusion, I think we do have opportunities there. I think part of that is influenced by our mindset that says the health activity of the pigs is always directly related to the health activity at the sow herd, or it's related to pig density and aerosol contamination. But when we look at the individual sites and you think about those, it really our opportunities are improving transportation biosecurity. Do we have to go to the same requirements as we have on the sow herd? Probably not, but we certainly need to have an increased number of clean disinfectant trailers that transport pigs. The other area that I see frequently is that our growers and producers do a great job of washing the individual barns and disinfecting those barns, but then you look at their work area or maybe their power washer room on those barns or maybe the office, and the contamination is there from the previous group of pigs. And then third, we still got to improve how we move people and maybe growers between barns. So even though we have available showers, it is always a drive to get compliance. And I think if we can improve in those three areas, we can decrease the episodes that we see in the wean to finish populations.
Echo both of those comments. Especially as it relates to biosecurity, needs to always evolve. Just as our pathogens evolve and they get smarter and they get more capable of adapting and surviving to our intervention strategies, I think we have to think of biosecurity as evolving too. As our pathogens get smarter, we have to make sure that what we're doing for biosecurity first makes sense from a science standpoint with the pathogens that we're trying to keep out of our systems, but also that we're, you know, looking and surveying the industry and trying to make sure that we really have an all-inclusive biosecurity program. That's one thing at PIC we noticed that we hadn't updated for quite some time. And so over the past 2 years, we really took an opportunity to do a deep dive into our biosecurity program and noticed there was a lot of areas that weren't maybe well-defined and that we could set some standards around. And so we updated our biosecurity standards as part of our BioShield program. And we're working on rolling those out, not just as you mentioned at the sow farm level, but making sure that that carries down all the way through to the wean to finish sites. And the second point of yours, Dr. Connor, that I really appreciated was the cleaning between groups of animals. I think that's a huge area of opportunity. We think just because the previous group may have been, let's say, PRRS negative or coronavirus negative, that we don't really need a full cleaning. There are other bugs that we may not always think about that can cause issues if we have dissimilar health statuses between groups. Some of those, what I would call endemic agents or pathogens that are currently circulating around, but we have different strains of, for example, your strep. Or your Haemophilus, or I guess now Glacerella parasuis, that may be dissimilar between groups, that if we leave them in the environment, we can struggle with our next turn through that wean to finish site.
Deanne, do you think we will ever get to 100% washing and disinfecting of slaughter pig trailers? And with that, do you think it's necessary to get to that level?
Yeah, I know we don't have the capacity currently with the washes that we have available to do that currently, but I think it's something we need to strive to evolve to, particularly as we start to think about the risk for a foreign animal disease and how that would change the entire landscape of the swine industry as we know it in the U.S. and the ability to have those things available for containment and control. So I think it's something we really need to strive to get to. We just unfortunately don't have the capacity and availability to do that currently.
What's the limiting factor in getting this to your people, getting this to the people that you're working with, your clients? Why isn't that happening now?
I think, as Deanne alluded to, we still struggle with the value matrix with respect to emptying a wean to finish barn or a site, and the contamination risk, if it does occur, may not have a dramatic effect on the last 2 or 3 weeks to slaughter. We need to do a better job of explaining that that does put the next group of pigs at risk. And so it leads right into what Deanne said in terms of that we have to get those barns clean. And with that, even though we've had an improvement in commercial truck washes, we still don't have the capacity to do all of the trailers and get the turnaround capacity to get pigs in and out of these barns. We probably also haven't looked at in-between measures. What I mean by that is maybe we can move forward quite well without perfectly cleaning all of the trailers if we do some staging and have some monitoring of the health of the pigs going into the plants.
Actually, yeah, I totally agree with what you say, Dr. Connor. That poses a threat to the next group of pigs, as you say. But also, I think it has important implications in spreading, keep spreading, or keep the focal points of disease challenge around even in the packing plants as reservoirs for a huge amounts of agents, infectious agents, as we relax a little, or there is not that monitoring in the ending or in the last stages, or as you say, in those few weeks prior to shipping those animals to market, we keep sending things what we don't know. So we're failing in the bio contention, and everything is going to that packing plant and becoming a focal point for contamination for other herds or other animals, or in general, other trucks or other transportation devices.
Whose responsibility is that to set that red line that says, no, that can't come in? No, that, I mean, is that different on every farm, or where do we identify this person has the authority to say that truck can't come in?
I would say it may vary from system to system. What we've really focused on at PIC is empowering the farm staff to be the manager of biosecurity. So whether that's your farm manager or a designated biosecurity manager, that they are evaluating everything that comes into their farm to make sure that it's brought in properly, or for instance, as you mentioned, a trailer, that it is clean before it backs up to the loadout chute. And they're really owning the biosecurity of their farm because they're there every day. While the veterinarian that visits should be a steward of biosecurity, should do continued training and stay in close contact with the farm, they're not there on the day-to-day basis. So we really need to make sure we've instilled that culture of biosecurity in our farm staff so that they can make sure that it's executed every day on the farm level.
Deanne, you say that that's a PIC basis. Do you think that's generally widespread?
I think it's becoming more widespread in the customers that I've worked with. They're trying to get away from a top-down approach to where here are the rules, follow it, to trying to engage the farm staff and understanding why biosecurity is important, knowing that they're the ones that are really the front line protecting the farm every day. Dr. O'Connor, what would be your experience with that in the systems and customers that you've worked with?
I do see we have moved from generally from a top-down to an on-farm, but I think it allows us to actually then think, how do we practically add more layers to prevent that transportation risk? Because unfortunately, one of the challenges we continue to see is that there's considerable labor turnover at the farm, and even the people that we engage in, quote, monitoring biosecurity, looking at the trailers or the contact points, they frequently get very comfortable with the driver, the trailer, those tech, even if they're the same. And so what I think we want to move toward and are moving toward is transfer stations that are attached to the building, maybe from a hallway, and a person that stays in that transfer station or room, and then that room is immediately washed. That person also would shower or at least do a Danish change before they come back in, as another layer to overcome just the normal deficiencies that crop up between loading and transportation.
Excellent point. I would say that we would also utilize the staged loading procedure as well, so that the in the event there was anything on that trailer, we contain it to the loadout and hopefully immediately after are able to wash and disinfect it. We wear site-specific clothing in the loadout that's dedicated to the loadout area, so that after that load backs away, we wouldn't walk that on into the barn. And I think that's just another important layer, as you mentioned, to protect the farm against disease introduction.
Dr. Henker, I think you've probably seen the loading videos where early when we're loading trucks, we get good movement of pigs. But as we get toward the end of that truck, then we get either pigs that turn around or kick shavings out. And it's still quite easy to get contamination back into the barns, even when the procedures are seemingly correct.
Absolutely. So some things that we've tried to mitigate, and again, you're very spot on with that. As we get that trailer full, we kick shavings back, or potentially we get pigs that don't want to go on the truck because it appears full. Having a person that's dedicated to the loadout follows those pigs up, make sure that they don't return from the trailer back into the barn, and that anything that gets kicked into the barn or the loadout area is then, after the truck pulls away, we wash everything out, disinfect, and then take off our clothes, whether those be disposable or you have some kind of way to handle that laundry, and then washing boots and changing out of those boots before walking back into the barn, just kind of as those redundant layers you spoke about in terms of layers of biosecurity.
This is probably a decade of learning that has gotten us to this point, maybe two decades. but having said that, is there anything new in that area, new disinfectants, new products that help us achieve our goal in biosecurity?
Yeah, so a couple things that come to my mind. I don't know if they're necessarily new or novel products. They're always doing studies that evaluate the efficacy of disinfectants in the presence of organic matter and things that may lead to showing some are more effective than others. But one thing I have really noticed as we are constantly evolving our design of facilities, that some of the newer established farms, particularly on the sow farm, where you have a large investment to protect, they have gone to creating a very biosecure setup for loading out animals, particularly your coal animals, where you know you have a truck. If you don't have a transfer station, that may have touched a market, it's been washed, cleaned, and dried, but that it's touched a market before, where they have a room that they preload pigs in, and then it's washed and disinfected afterwards, and then they can actually shower out of that loadout room so they don't have to re-enter the farm with any clothing, boots, or anything that might be sprayed back on them from the loadout process. I've seen those in probably three or four newer builds, at least at the sow farm level. That I thought was a great improvement for biosecurity. Again, it's another time constraint, labor constraint. You have to figure out how you're going to handle that from a personnel perspective, but the ability that you could preload animals in there, completely seal that room, load the truck, wash that room down, and then take a shower out, and it has a stackable washer and dryer to handle laundry there, really kind of detaches you from the risk of the truck. So I guess I would say some design changes or as we evolve, I have seen. But Will, Dr. Connor, anything else on your end that you have seen up and coming?
If I may, actually, very similar, a part of what you were saying about multi-areas or layers. I think Dr. Connor also was talking about that a few minutes ago. I think one of the things that I've been seeing is that there is some evolution or some tendency to evolve from the clean, dirty, you know, line, like clean area, dirty area, to the multiple zones, multiple areas concept, where we create buffer areas to or those layers and more layers to to catch up or to minimize risk and decrease the likelihood of contamination, cross contamination, or some to improve our biocontention practices is what I have been perceiving in the recent time. If you would like to add something else, Dr. Connor, do you have I think you will have a bigger experience in that regard.
Yeah, we see exactly the same thing. And what we have seen as well is disinfectants coming onto the market, as Dr. Henker alluded to. And those are being driven actually more because of perceived ASF risk and want to be ready for that. And also COVID-19, a number of disinfectants that are either have clearance or moving toward clearance and then move over into the livestock arena. When we sort all that out, though, it still comes down to removing organic matter generally. The other thing that I have seen that's quite interesting is we've transitioned from just biosecure as we know it to biocontainment. So starting to get some understanding, and particularly in the breed to wean, that we can gain some downstream improvement in performance if we can contain certain pathogens just to a small population of pigs. And I think we'll see that continue to progress, and also we'll at the same time continue to make us alter our facilities as we have a better understanding of the importance of that.
Our thanks to Drs. Joe Connor, Deanne Hemker, and Will Lopez on this, the first of three episodes on Wean to Finish Health on The Squeal. You're welcome to share these podcasts widely in your organization. In fact, we encourage it. For PIC, the international leader of continuous genetic improvement in swine breeding stock and in world-class technical support to the global pork supply chain, I'm Ned Arthur. Thanks for joining us.